This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. It's tape number 434, and it's side two, March 28th, 1980. The night that the Abscam story broke, Abscam, Arab investigation, FBI investigation, payoffs, the very evening that that story broke in February of this year, was the night that 33 inmates were killed in the New Mexico jail. You notice the wall of silence since that event. It was like Jonestown, where 923 died. There's been absolute silence about investigating and going into the matter where these inmates were killed. And the inmates there were informants or informers, and they had valuable information to share. Either they had testified or were about to testify in important cases. Since Abscam's story broke, they have just briefly gone into hinting the My Porn, the pornography investigation, the Pensdorf, Alan Dorfman, and Senator Howard Cannon, the Chicago-Vegas connections, the Bri Lab involving the Southwest, their investigations into New Jersey, New York, the Immigration Department, the gaming casinos and how they're procured, and hit squads and assassins and passports in exchange for favor. The Abscam has been very quiet in the news, but because there's so much information, it will be boiling over and we'll go into it more. But I was very concerned about that, not only the death of those 33 inmates and informers, but the fact that Raymond Precunier, who used to be head of the prison system in California, where we had the FBI and CIA working and was undersheriff in San Francisco at the time, had been to New Mexico prior to the time that the killings took place. The place was stocked with drugs that were available. The files had the names of the informers, and they were able to get the keys and go in and kill them. This past week, there was a rampage inside the Newark, New Jersey jail, just at a time when New Jersey people, high officials, are being investigated, and the 10th floor was held off by, they had eight hostages, and so far, the toll of personal bodily damage isn't really revealed, but the riot took place where in the unit for suspected murderers and other violent offenders. And I'm wondering how many prison deaths and murdering of witnesses inside the prison system are going to take place in the next 5 or 10 years in order to silence the truth of what transpired out on the streets. Of course, we know that Jack Ruby, a witness to the John Kennedy assassination and involved in wiping out Lee Harvey Oswald, got a what was called a three-week cancer and started to get injections after he smuggled out letters from the jail that stated that there was a high-level conspiracy involving the President of the United States, Lyndon Johnson, and other top officials. And Joseph Valachi promised to give information on organized crime if he had protection, and then he was killed in jail, and Mickey Cohn was almost killed in jail, and as soon as Jimmy Hoffa got out, he was murdered by people who were kept out and didn't have to go to jail if they would murder Jimmy Hoffa. A lot of informers are wiped out in the jail, but this New Mexico situation is coming the same night as the two-year investigation of the FBI into international and national organized crime was very important. And then several weeks ago, or just a little over a week ago, there was an article in the San Francisco newspapers, probably didn't make the Eastern or national news at all. Raymond Precunier, that's that same San Francisco undersheriff that I've talked about on the tapes, is leaving San Francisco. I heard he was leaving San Francisco, and I thought he would be fired and in disgrace for having participated in things that transpired down there in New Mexico, but it's the other way around. He's now going to New Mexico to investigate the state penitentiary and be a consultant. The San Francisco Chronicle said he will be assisting in the investigating the devastating riot as former director of prisons in California. He was familiar with deaths and riots. This having Precunier investigate the New Mexico riots is like having Himmler investigate Auschwitz. The people who set it up are sent there to investigate it, and it's outrageous that Raymond Precunier, with a history of California violences and provocateurs, is allowed to go to New Mexico now. And as I say, there's a wall of silence about what transpired. The Los Angeles Times had an article which wasn't in the Chronicle. That's why I say it's so important to have a cross-file of these articles. This article is about the New Mexico riot, and it said the prison was a powder keg waiting for a match to drop. And it talks about the predictable savagery of the inmates in there, the psychiatrists say. What they're trying to say is it was a powder keg and that 33 inmates were killed. And the expert they use in the article, or even who went nationally, to say that it was inevitable they die was a Frank Irvin, a psychiatrist at McGill University in Montreal and an expert on violence. And then the article quotes what he talked about, brain lesions and psychotic thought, and it goes on to quote Dr. Jolly West, the chairman of psychiatry at UCLA, and the savagery that goes on in the prisons. Well, I drew a diagram of some of the people involved in these prison violences and the UCLA School to Study the Cause of Violent Behavior that was supposed to take place, and I've referred to it on other tapes. It's in the full Senate report of Sam Irvin on constitutional rights, individual rights, and the federal role in behavior modification. And in this Senate hearing, Sam Irvin, before he left the Senate following the Watergate investigations, wrote a letter to the LEAA administrator, Don Santarelli, and he asked him about the UCLA school. This letter was dated January 14, 1974. That was 6 years ago. And he said, on March 22nd of last year, I addressed an inquiry concerning LEAA funding the violence studies at UCLA called the Study and Reduction of Violence at UCLA. And Sam Irvin wrote, I want more information about this group. He said, since last March, I have asked for information pertaining to the UCLA Center. And he said, I asked whether Dr. William Sweet, Dr. Vernon Mark, or Dr. Frank Irvin will perform any of the work at UCLA Project. And he said, I went into, you sent me a lot of information with considerable detail, but there was no specific reply to this question. It was omitted. I understand that Dr. Sweet and Irvin are now associated with the neuropsychiatric at UCLA. This report of Sam Irvin's committee in the Senate goes on and talks about electrode implants and Dr. Frank Irvin and Dr. Sweet and the fact that they have four projects using LEAA funds and a very controversial one in Puerto Rico. This was in 1974. Now, I know there were planes leaving Jonestown and the airport there, Port Katumi, with flying people to Puerto Rico. And I believed at the time, because of various documents I had, that they were being transferred for medical experimentation and electrode implants. The Senate report goes into the Los Angeles Police Department. James Fisk, a former high-ranking officer in the police department working with the UCLA school, and it refers to the January 1973 State of the State message of Governor Ronald Reagan announcing this Center for the Reduction of Life-Threatening Behavior. The report goes on and says that they secretly do lobotomies on people in the California prisons, and these people get more violent, and that they use chemical castration, psychosurgery, experimental drugs, and suggest that in an age of rapidly advancing technology, that it does not preserve human dignity and principles of liberty or freedom to have such an institution. And in this report of UCLA, they refer, on my Jonestown tapes, I've mentioned the fingerprinting process and the secret Nike base for electrode implants and making people literally prisoners of the medical part of the prison system, taking their brains away from them. Well, Dr. Frank Irvin is an expert on surfacing, and Dr. Jolly West on the New Mexico prison riots, and they're calling in Raymond Precunier, who worked with Irvin and West at UCLA and were to transport prisoners for these experimentations. To summarize this, and it's terribly important because this is where the prison worked with Ronald Reagan. He set up this school to study the causes of violence on blacks, Indians, Chicanos, and the poor. He worked with Dr. West from UCLA, who worked with the CIA all of his life and was Jack Ruby's, in quotes, psychiatrist for his one-minute epilepsy. They used secret Nike bases. And these three men, on the printed sheet that goes with this tape, I'm spelling out their names, so whenever you see them, Dr. Vernon Mark, Dr. William Sweet, and Dr. Frank Irvin. I mentioned last week that they're the ones that did the psychosurgery and electrode implants on a gentleman, Leonard Keeley, who is similar to the Dennis Sweeney that shot Alan Lowenstein that I mentioned last week. These are the same doctors talking about the New Mexico riot that put the electrode implants back at the Boston Hospital, that work for the CIA, the Defense Department, and are experimenting on humans. And so the New Mexico investigation is now being done by Raymond Precunier, who left San Francisco to take over the job where 33 informers were brutally murdered. And those informers, I know, would link heavily to the AB scam. But going back over the years, 4 years ago, 5 years ago, six, in watching the relationship of these people to various government provocateur instigated crimes, you have to believe that the New Mexico story will be very hushed, and it'll be interesting to see what kind of prosecutions or who they can try to nail for these murders when they actually did them a favor by wiping out their patsies. I'm sure that many people that did the murders have already escaped and been transferred somewhere else. On tape 431, March the 8th, 1980, or was it March the 7th? March the 7th. I talked about a hitman for organized crime by the name of Charles Allen, who confessed he was a hitman and that he worked with the Teamsters people that were involved with wiping out Jimmy Hoffa, and that he became a confidential government informant, Mr. Allen, in 1977 and 1979. And he was testifying against a gentleman who also was involved with, he alleged had murdered two people and had been on contract to kill other people. A racketeer, part of the Teamsters operation. It was a trial of a man named Francis J. Sheeran, president of the Wilmington, Delaware Teamsters Group. Well, Allen is a government informant who was talking about giving $40,000 to John Mitchell to get a prison release of Hoffa, and working with Richard Nixon and the White House staff, and also as part of a hit team. Now, Allen was testifying in the course of his trial. The trial took place in Turnsville, New Jersey, and he was testifying there as an informant about Angelo Bruno, who's the chief don of the New Jersey, Philadelphia, Pennsylvania organized crime, the whole northern section, and that's a pretty big hunk. And just right after Mr. Allen's testimony, Angelo Bruno was murdered. He was murdered last week. Bruno himself was becoming an informant. You see, all of them would go to jail and get the death penalty for their multiple murders if they didn't turn informant. So the killers are out on the streets, and the men who are talking about the killing or even took part in them are being gunned down. Now, Bruno had been working for the government, giving information about several people, important people that I've referred to. Two of them are bosses, cousins of crime boss Carlo Gambino. That name runs through these tapes constantly, with the Vatican connections, the Carter connections, the New York connections, the large Italy, Vatican, Watergate ball of wax. Well, Bruno was giving information about the Gambino brothers. They were arrested, charged with conspiracy of $1 million of heroin traffic, recently distributing Rosario and Giuseppe Gambino. And Angelo Bruno was testifying about them as a government official. He was in the New Jersey State Commission investigation offices. Last Thursday, he was on the 10th floor in Trenton, New Jersey, and then he was behind closed doors testifying about rackets in South Jersey, and then he went downstairs and was gunned down. His associate was hurt, but he was killed. So that one of the major last of the large dons of organized crime, Angelo Bruno, has been wiped out. That doesn't mean crime's been wiped out. It means that the heroin, cocaine, hash, marijuana is in the hands of a different team, but he's one of the last of the old mobster syndicates. And when he began to tell the feds about information that he had, and when Charles Allen began to give information that Bruno also had of murders, then Angelo Bruno was gunned down. Up to this day, Charles Allen is alive, but Bruno is a biggie. And I'm sure that he knows the links of the White House and John Mitchell and John Ehrlichman and Robert Haldeman and Richard Nixon, the entire White House team of various murders and assassinations that were done by a combination of the Central Intelligence Agency and organized crime. Now, all these murders had to go into place to kill John Kennedy, Robert Kennedy, affect the Chappaquiddick accident of Mary Jo Kopechne, the shooting of George Wallace, the killing of Jimmy Hoffa. The connecting links are being all wiped out and erased, and these people participated in murders, and some were informers. But again, Angela Bruno was gunned down last week, shortly after Charles Allen turned in information about Bruno's knowledge of various murders. Of course, the news media is making it appear that this is an interwar between organized crime, between each other. But all of these people have been involved, as I say, in Chappaquiddick, in the Wallace shooting, in the John Kennedy assassination, the Robert Kennedy assassination, and in Watergate, and they had to be wiped out also with the Abscam international investigations going on. Just save your newspaper and, as I say, watch the murders escalate. I have many, many books on these crime families and Angelo Bruno. Some good books I referred last week to the book The Hoffa Wars, or the week before. There's another book, The Valachi Papers, and there's an excellent book by Gay Talese, Honor Thy Father. It's the story of the Bonanno family, organized crime with charts of families, and there's a lot in there about Angelo Bruno. And there's a lot in this book about the way the FBI sets up a war between organized crime to make it look like other crime members are wiping out each other, and then the FBI takes a back seat and lets them erase the witnesses that they've used for their own purposes of murder and make it look like a war between members of organized crime. In Honor Thy Father, there's a section here that tells about a bombing at the home of Joseph Bonanno, the crime lord, in Tucson, Arizona, and how the suspect worked for Hughes Aircraft and had learned demolition in the Marine Corps. And then the agent that actually did the bombings was an FBI agent named Dave. He was in charge of the mafia affairs in Arizona. And the FBI disguised their agents into the crime syndicate and hope that the crime syndicate will kill each other off, which they do sometimes, and then the federal agencies won't be involved for wiping these people out. They can blame other members of crime families that they're competing with for narcotics or territory. This world is so crazy and mixed up that everything is totally topsy-turvy, and a perfect example of it is a case of a San Francisco mobster right now who's being prosecuted. He worked for the Teamsters Union, and he's being charged, Rudy Tham, 56 years old, for taking union funds from the Teamster, $2,000, a little more with some rough change, to spend on food and lodging and entertainment, that he went to hotels and used this money for private business and travel and food. This is just a little over $2,000, and Rudy Tham is the man being prosecuted. I didn't even know they had trials for people stealing $2,000 anymore. I thought they were done out of court. And the witness against this man, Mr. Tham, Rudy Tham, is James Jimmy the Weasel Fratriano. And Fratriano has admitted to doing at least 5 murders. He's been threatened with the electric chair. He has been known to do anywhere from 5 to 10 or 11 murders. And he's testified in this trial. He's admitted that he's choked people, that he shot them, that he's thrown them out of cars. And Mr. Tham says, you're just testifying against me so that you won't get a death sentence in Cleveland for murders that you did. So I don't understand why the government uses a man like Fratriano. Fratriano was getting between $10,000 and $17,000 a month as a government informant from 1970 to 77 when he was doing murders. He talks about the bombing of Danny Green's home in Cleveland in 1977 and the shooting of Frank Bombancero in San Diego in 1977. And he tells about choking people in the car and killing them with a rope. And all of his murders in the course of the trial, he personally tells that he helped kill Frank Nicelli, Tony Trombino, Tony Brancato, Frank Borgia, and Louis, Russian Louis Strauss. And he tells how he, as I say, he choked them, he walked behind them with a rope, threw them out of a car, he fired one with a gun, He participated in other. The main prosecution witness is telling a fatal headshot in the backseat of a car and how he was getting rid of these people. One, Brancato, was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. And this is the main prosecution witness. So the defendant is somebody who took less than $3,000. And the man testifying against him for the whole story is somebody who has participated in these gangland murders and been paid for them as a government informant all the time that he was doing them. I don't know why for $2,791 the prosecution is going after Mr. Tham, and the witness they're using is an admitted killer who is being paid by the government and wiping out these people in brutal murders. Why that murder isn't just locked up for good instead of being on the stand and given a new identity and thousands of dollars each year by our taxes to protect him as a witness when he's through with this. I don't understand at all how a mass murder like that is a prosecution witness and the defendant is talking for less than $3,000 that he spent on food and hotel bills. I'm collecting endless articles linking Jimmy Carter to organized crime, to the mafia down in Atlanta, Georgia, and in Atlantic City and Las Vegas. The interesting report, I call this the Cartergate. I've called Abscam. It could become the Cartergate all along. The New York Times, March the 12th, has an article under the title Impropriety Alleged in Gibson Inquiry. Now, this has to do with allegations that the Carter administration interfered under the investigation. A mayor of Newark, his name is Kenneth Gibson, was being investigated, and that George Katz, a friend of Senator Williams, who's involved in the Abscam story, interceded and said that he would go to Washington officials to try to get the mayor off the hook. So Mr. Katz is part of an organized crime group, and he works with the garbage collection that tanglement that's being investigated with the New Jersey Abscam. And so Mr. Katz volunteered George Katz to see what he could do. Now, the story goes that Mr. Katz tried to help the mayor by going to President Carter and former Attorney General Griffin Bell and Senator Williams, and that they mentioned the possible involvement of Robert S. Strauss, the president's reelection campaign chairman, and Robert Del Tufo, the United States attorney appointed by Jimmy Carter to New Jersey. Now, the 2 years that they've been investigating organized crime and the Democratic Party and the mob and the syndicate in New Jersey, the investigator was appointed by Jimmy Carter, and a lot of these people work with Jimmy Carter. This New York Times story says that Mr. Del Tufo and Mr. Strauss were mentioned as being instrumental in stopping or trying to stop the investigation of Mayor Gibson, and that there was a conversation with him and such as, we don't go to Washington because of the wrong if we help you, but we'll help you at the New Jersey end with this criminal investigation that you're under, that the mayor was under. And in order to cover up the possible corruption of the mayor of Newark, this Kenneth Gibson, Jimmy Carter sent him away down to the Panama Canal signing tree to make him look like he was acceptable in the national, international figures, and sent him down to Torrijos, another narcotics dealer down in Panama. So he tried to give him a public image as being appointed by the mayor of getting the kosher seal of approval. And while he was down in Panama, there were more stories that linked about Mayor Gibson, and that he was under investigation. These stories started linking in October 1979 when he was in Panama, that he was under criminal investigation, and that he was linked to $75,000 discovered in a Swiss bank account, and it was in the mayor's name, and it was controlled by him. Here, Kenneth Gibson is under investigation, and on December 13th of this year, he publicly said that he would support Jimmy Carter in his campaign in New Jersey. Now, Senator Williams and Representative Frank Thompson of Trenton, who've been caught in the Abscam net, we're working on the re-election committee, the election, rather, of Senator Ted Kennedy. One way that Jimmy Carter can control a lot of votes and the bosses all over the country with the syndicate and organized crime is that they can be threatened with investigation if they don't support him, and he can take a big hunk of the Democratic Party. throughout the whole South that is linked to Brilab, Abscam, and the other investigations, the pornography scams, and he can keep these people from being prosecuted or tried by giving them appointments and sending them places and officially recognizing them in the White House. So Carter and the White House have been linked to helping hide the investigation of the Newark, New Jersey Mayor Kenneth Gibson. Attorney General Benjamin Civiletti is letting most of the people linked to Carter and organized crime off the hook because he's to Jimmy Carter what John Mitchell was to Richard Nixon. And someday I'll try to remember to do a tape on the links of Jimmy Carter to the Bahamas and Robert Vesco and organized crime and go at depth into many of the links of Carter to the crime figures. I'm getting articles from people in the East on different investigations and suggestions of crime links to Carter going back to 1976, 77, 78, which become important now when the FBI is trying to investigate some criminals without letting it rub off on Carter, and that's why I call this Cartergate, because eventually his crime, organized crime connections will surface. Although it is very important to save all articles of people that are being murdered and hit-and-run cases and airplane accidents, and you can always throw them away later, but save them in case there's some connecting links. The strange case of this Dr. Tarnauer in New York City is an important case because of the background of the woman, the headmistress, Jean Harris, who shot him. Jean Harris was brought up in Cleveland, went to a private girls' school, then went to Smith College, and studied history and economics, and then went to Grosse Pointe, Michigan, where she was living in Grosse Pointe, Michigan, and had a family and taught at a day school. Ms. Harris went to the Soviet Union in 1958, a time when the CIA was sending people under the guise of wanting to understand the Russian language or the Russian people. She had a good education, and she came home from the Soviet Union, gave lectures about her trip, and in 1964 was described as well-organized, and the Washington Post article describes her activities and her promotions as a school assistant. In 1964, she filed for a divorce, and then shortly after, in 1977, her husband died, and she left Michigan and became director of a school called Chestnut Hill in Philadelphia. And she worked in the middle of the social scene in Philadelphia, where she met this Dr. Tarnauer. I won't have time on the tape. I'm going to have to leave off just at this point. But she worked for a company called Allied Maintenance that did janitor work for the Madison Square Garden. She worked there for a year and a half and a salary of $32,000 before she went to McLean, Virginia, to this fancy school. And I have articles on organized crime and members of the crime syndicate with clinging services. I did one tape on Meat Esposito, and he had a group called the Broadway Maintenance Company. And the next week I want to do about the Moonies and their clinging service, clinging the space satellite stations and the Fort Ord and the Army bases, the military and FBI offices, and the links of Esposito to the Moonies, and the Madison Square Garden group linked to people in New York of the crime family. She worked for them before she went there, and the mystery of who Dr. Tarnauer is has never really been exposed. I believe that this Jean Harris has a double personality like Candy Jones that we have to study. For those of you who don't know, Candy Jones was a woman, a model, worked for the Central Intelligence Agency, who was given a double personality, one by the name of Arlene Grant, and did various jobs for the Central Intelligence Agency, and then switched roles and went back to the other person, Candy Jones, when she wasn't working for the CIA. From the description of this Mrs. Harris, she seemed to have this double personality, and the mystery of Dr. Tarnauer, how he accumulated that vast wealth, the story behind it has a lot more to be told. As I say, there isn't time on this tape, so I'll get to it, but I just wanted to mention this little bit so that if you have articles on clinging companies and organized crime and maintenance crews and the ownership of the Madison Square Garden, just send it on out to me. I'd appreciate it. And we'll go into this more because I guess I'm getting into this backwards. We'll talk about the people involved with Abscam that are being killed first and then get to Abscam. But each week I keep pushing it off because there's things in the news that I want to update before we get back to that. And hopefully next week maybe I'll just stick with that no matter what happens. but I do like to tie in these loose ends of past investigations, such as the Son of Sam or the Alternative 3, the space stations, and so forth. So that's all for today. This is Mae Brussel in Carmel, California. I'll be back with you next week, and you take care.